Okay, in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25, now we're talking about the attributes of God. We're going to learn some things about God. Say, well, we already know these things. Well, we just need to be reminded of them. We need to tell one another often about God, about the basic things about His character that we need to be reminded of often, because these are the things that are tested the most in our faith. It really is. It's kind of like this morning where the focus, you know, and all that is either on us or on God, and we have the focus too much on us all the time. You know, it's our faith, and our faith's tried, and we think about how it affects us. Well, the thing about it is it affects our view of God and the way we look at God, think of Him, the way we remember Him. And so we need to be reminded of these basic things about God. There's some things about Him that never change. Never change. I mean, they're as solid as a rock. He is the rock. He is our rock. The rock that followed them in the wilderness was Christ. So it's good to have something that you can just bank on. Something that ain't going to change. Everything changes. The way people do church, I hate that expression, but the way they operate the church and view the church and worship, and the songs change and the music changes and all that in this world, everything's changing all the time. People change. You know somebody and you don't see them for a while and you meet up with them again and you realize, my goodness, they've changed a lot. People that used to be my friends long time ago, in that other life, you know, they're not the same people now. I'm not the same person. Things change. God don't change, though. Same God that we are talking about tonight is the same God that Moses talked to. Same God that came to Adam in the garden. Where art thou? Same God. And so we need to understand this, get it down in our souls, that these things don't change. God, in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25, this is Abraham speaking. Now, y'all know the context of this. God's told Abraham He's going to destroy Sodom and the cities of the plain. Lot's there. Abraham's begging for Lot. Lot's sake. Abraham says, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Yes, He will. You see, even Abraham's questioning God there. So, God, are you going to just destroy the righteous with the wicked? Well, God said, of course not. If I can find, got all the way down to 10 righteous people. If there have been 10 righteous people, our God said, I'll spare the whole city for 10 righteous. So what we're talking about here tonight is God is just. You understand what that word means? He is just, fair. He does all things well. He judges righteously. He does what is right 100% of the time. Let me read you another verse in Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 4. It's a short verse, just listen. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Amen. All right, now that God is just is just another one of His most important basic attributes that all of our faith relies upon. If God's not just one time out of a million, then our faith is shaky. If we don't understand that God does what is right 100% of the time, He does all things well. He doeth all things well. He does all things right. You look around you at this world, you look at your own life, and you'll question that. You'll say, well, if God does everything right, then what about this and what about that? And I can give you an example of something didn't turn out right. Now, wait a minute. You're talking about the world, a world that's cursed and polluted and defiled with sin. That's the opposite of what's right. Sin is the opposite of righteousness, of what's right. Just. I mean, it's the opposite of it. If God is just and always does what's right, sin is not just and always does what's wrong. And the world's full of sin. So how's things going to go in a world full of sin? It's not going to go right. The good guy's not always going to win in this world. Right is not always going to prevail in this world. When you look at the overall picture of everything from the Alpha to the Omega, the beginning to the end, you'll see that what right will prevail. The just will be justified and the wicked will be punished and condemned because God's just. But we need to look at it, like I tell you so often, we need to look at it from above instead of through a little peephole looking up from below. We can't look around us. We can't judge God. We can't have our faith by what we see around us in this sinful world. The basic things of God contradict what we're seeing in this sinful world. And then they also confirm the fact that we live in a sinful world. It's full of sin and injustice and violence. The days of Noah before the flood. The Bible says that the earth was filled with violence through them. That means, if you look at that word, it means injustice. There wasn't nothing right. Everything was unfair. If you read the prophets, they talk about in the days of apostasy, when everybody had forsaken God and turned to idols and living in their wickedness and all the evil things they were doing, just like they are right now, murdering their babies and protecting. Do you see where that movie they come out with? What was that thing you were showing me the other day? Unplanned, yeah. The networks wouldn't advertise any advertisements for it because it was too controversial or... Yeah, they rated it R too, by the way. And then also, the Twitter cut them off on the opening day. I mean, the world does everything it can to fight against protecting babies. And then they protect animals. The same people that voted 18 times against protecting babies who survived abortions and born alive, protect them from being killed. All it was is a bill to protect the babies that survived an abortion. They voted against it 18 times and then tried to put a bill through to protect cats. Yeah. Messed up. It's a messed up world. It's full of injustice. And no equity. The prophets, when in days of apostasy, when they were doing that back in Israel, it's not the first time that it's been this way, but it's the first time since the days of Noah that it's been this way worldwide, universally. Y'all understand that? That's the important factor here. You'll hear people arguing, well, I saw it yesterday. I saw somebody say, it's just like it's always been. Same sins everybody's always done. Well, that's true, but it's different now. In the days of Noah, the world was universally doing the same thing. The thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. And God destroyed the world because there wasn't no fixing it. That's the way it is now. The world is this way. There's no place in the world that's not polluted with this thinking. We're all networked together. We can see the rockets in Israel as they're fired. We can hear immediately when something happens anywhere in the world. We know it within seconds, minutes at the most. And so we're all connected together and it's not helping us. We're all going down the tubes. But the prophet said judgments turned around backwards. That justice is related to judgment. He's a God of judgment. Judgment is about justice. Doing right. Judgment is discerning the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, and choosing the right, choosing the good, marking it as good, calling good good, calling evil evil. That's what justice is. And judgment's turned around backwards, and truth's fallen in the street, and there's no equity in the land. Well, that's where we're at. And that's the way the world is. God will never condemn the righteous. Now, men may. They do it all the time. They did it when Jesus came. They condemned the righteous. They killed the Prince of Peace. They murdered the Son of God. They condemned the righteous. Abel was killed by his brother. Abel was righteous. Cain was not. But Abel died. And that's what it's been since the beginning of this world. And you need to understand there's a God in heaven who is just. Abel's blood cried out to God from the ground. And it didn't go unnoticed, unpunished. There was retribution for it. And there is for everything. God will never condemn the righteous, and He will never pardon the wicked who will not turn from their wickedness. They have an option. They can repent, turn from it, turn to the truth, and the truth will make them free. If they won't do it, God's not going to justify them. You can mark it down. There's not going to be one soul in heaven who did not turn from their sin and trust God. Because God's just. So it's terrible for somebody to die and go to hell. Yeah, it's terrible. But it's just. It's what is right. Yes, sir? It's the right thing. If they will not repent, if they die, live to the moment they die, fighting and hating God, then you want people like that in heaven? You want these baby murderers in heaven? You want these sodomites in heaven? You want these hate-filled, mean, cruel, unreasonable, insane people in heaven? Don't worry. There's a just God in heaven. They won't be. It's a place that He's preparing for them that love Him. That have a sound mind. Yes, sir. Ain't insane. Ain't crazy. It's for people who have been justified. Made just. I believe that. I believe when a person gets saved, really saved, God makes them just. They start seeing the right. They start identifying with the right. They stand up for what's right. They condemn what is evil. That's just. God's a just God. He commends righteousness, and he condemns evil. And He does it every time. He never fudges. He never compromises. He never swaps sides. He never listens to the opposing opinion. They don't get any time at all. Right's right, wrong's wrong. God's the judge. Always. God will call to account every person who ever lived for everything they did and every idle word they spake in this life. Matthew chapter 12 verse 36. But I say unto you, Jesus said, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Why? Because God is going to judge. Because He's just. There will be an account given by everybody for everything they did. Every idle word? What about all the rest of the stuff that everybody did? Going to give account. Romans 14, verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And why? Again, because God's going to judge. Used to be a central theme in the preaching, in the understanding of the Bible and faith in God, is this fear of God, this fact that we're going to face Him, that it is appointed unto man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. That we know that we're going to face Almighty God. And we're going to give account for everything we've done in this life. That's a sobering thought. If you understand that there's a just God in heaven, you're going to understand that you're going to need mercy. If the fact that God will always do right is not firmly fixed in your mind and in your soul, your faith is going to be unstable and it's going to be unreliable. If you don't really believe, as a fact, unwaveringly, that God is just. No matter what happens to you, no matter what you see in other people, no matter what happens in this world, you don't lose faith in God because of some injustice you see in this world. These people you see doing that didn't have any faith to start with. They're playing games. They're trying to use God for their own selfish benefit, but it won't work. Real faith trusts God no matter what. All the martyrs said, you know, I should have found it and so I could read it to you, but one of the martyrs, they threatened him with, they was going to do this to him, and they was going to take that from him, and they was going to take this away from him, and he'd be left with nothing, and then he was going to lose his life. He said, you can take everything away from me. You can take everything I got. You can take my life, but you can't take Jesus away from me. You can't take away what I am from me. See, you know, people that trust God, they just trust God no matter what. Because they know He's always good and they know He's always just. It's just two things that we've talked about so far. But the fact that God will do right always is firmly fixed. That's a thing that you just know. God's right. He'll always do right. God's the final judge and has the final say in all matters. And He has to be completely and consistently just. He's far removed from men in this attribute of His because He's just 100% of the time. Now, the best of men are not. Because they're lacking some of God's other attributes which make it possible for Him to be completely just. Yeah, are you listening to me? God knows all things. So He's never guessing when He passes judgment. You have to do that with your children. You have to guess sometimes. You just have partial knowledge. This one says this is what happened, and another one says that's what happened. And you just got to look at them and say, which one's telling me the truth? You got to figure both of them's lying a little bit. And you got to do like I did a lot of times. I'll just say, all right, I'm going to just whoop every one of you. How about that? And I did it a few times too. I'm tired of this lying. I'm tired of all this snowballing. You won't tell the truth and you won't own up to it. I'll just whoop all of you. That's the way we mete out justice. God don't have to do that. He knows exactly what happened. He knows exactly who said what, who did what. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts are far off. And so He knows all things. And He's never guessing when He passes judgment. He doesn't have to rely on witnesses because He is omniscient. He knows all things, sees all things. He's everywhere all the time at the same time. He don't have to depend on somebody telling Him what they saw, what they thought, what they think happened. So He is a witness Himself. He saw it. He heard it. So He knows exactly who's right, who's wrong. So He can be just. He's a lot, and we can't, because we don't have those attributes. We're not everywhere. We got to depend on somebody who is a witness. We got to depend on people telling us the truth. And we know that all men are liars. That's what David said, all men are liars. Just about right, wasn't he? One thing's for sure, you sure can't depend on what people tell you. Not 100%. If you do, you're foolish. You better always realize that it's going to be slanted. It's going to be twisted. It's going to be rested somehow to everybody's favor. Whoever's doing the witnessing, they're going to make it, they're going to protect themselves, or they're going to pull for whatever side they're pulling for. It's going to be partial. God's not partial. He's not a respecter of persons. And He says that people are sinning. So that's a sin. To be a respecter of persons is to sin. To put somebody above somebody else. You know, it's not good to take the word of the wicked in judgment. Take the word of the wicked over the righteous in judgment. People that are had in reputation for being wicked, you shouldn't take their word. When they get in court and say, I'll swear, to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and then get on there and lie. They'll do it too. Don't bother them a bit. We've had presidents. We've had all kinds of people do it. All these congressmen swear and put their hand on the Bible and say, I promise, I vow before God, I'll do this and this and this. And they don't mean a word of it. And they get in there and they don't even try to do what they swore to do. Liars. You can't depend on the word of men. God's not partial. He'll not sacrifice righteousness or do it damage in any way in order to spare someone who's especially dear to him. See, God ain't going to fudge. He's not going to compromise. He's not going to hedge on anything because he just loves somebody so much. Yeah. Better get that out of your head. God's just. He is just. And he don't put me, he don't put you, there's nobody on earth that he puts above somebody else or that he would compromise on righteousness in order to spare him. Amen. He's just going to judge righteously. Men are respecters of persons, and they will do damage to justice if the affection of their heart is involved. And that's why, by the law, an earthly judge has to, what they call, recuse himself if he has any personal interest in the case at hand. There's a reason for that. Because the affection of your heart affects your judgment. And that's the way men are. How you reckon this Juicy Smollett or whatever his name is, how you reckon he got off? Is there anybody in this whole country or world that thinks justice was done there? No. Not even the hardened Democrats, who are the most insane of all of them, even they are saying, what a travesty of justice. But it happened anyway, didn't it? Somebody had money. Somebody had pull. I mean, they got the proof that the prosecutor was communicating with some of Obama's people in the days before. And then all of a sudden, the charges are dropped when they got him dead to rights. And then they're looking for years here. They've been looking for something on Trump, something. Now they're wanting records, his financial records, back for 10 years so they can see if he did something. I saw the other day somebody said they got him because he tore the tags off of his mattress one time when he was a kid. And says it's unlawful to do that, you know, on them tags. Did you ever do that? Yes. I always looked at it and thought, oh my, boy, better not tear that tag off. I'm glad I didn't because I couldn't have never been president. It's ridiculous. Justice. Man is so unjust. He's so unfair. He's so biased and prejudiced and so wrong in all of his judgments. And he's not just at all. God is. Don't matter if you're the president, the pope. It don't matter who you are, how important you are, or how poor and insignificant you are, you're going to get treated the same by God. That's right. In heaven. Yep. He's going to judge the richest and the most powerful by the same law that he judged and the same standards that he judges the most pitiful by. Because he's not a respecter of persons. That's right. The law is the law. Right is right. And wrong is wrong. No matter how much money you got, what your position in the world is, no matter what people think of you, no matter what you've done in the past, right's right, wrong's wrong. And that's how you're going to be judged by God. Thank God it's that way. I'm glad I got that kind of hope before me. I don't have to wonder if God's going to be fair with me. If somebody's going to give a false witness to God and he believes him against me. Now, I got to worry about that a little bit here. Because ain't no telling what people might say, what people might do, what they might come out with. You know, we see every week or two in the news where somebody's been in prison for years, 20, 30, 40 years or more in prison, and they didn't do it. They finally proved they were innocent. How's that for justice? No, they talk about the cops, and everybody's hating on the cops, but You know, there, you know, and surely there's bad ones. Surely there's some mean guys in there that just take advantage of the position, but it's always been that way. You just didn't see it so much because there were some people that had enough wisdom and that were in the high places that they didn't publish things like that above everything else. You don't hear about all the good things the cops do. You don't hear about good cops. You just hear about the bad ones.
That's right.
And so it undermines authority. It undermines the order of society, law and order completely. We're dropping into anarchy and chaos because they're destroying the whole foundations, which is, you know, we got to have policemen. I saw the other day where they shot a guy, a rapper, down in Texas somewhere, but he was in a car, had a gun on his lap, in the dark, and they ordered him to get out of the car and to get his hands up. But you know what the fool did instead of doing that? He bent over, leaned over like he was grabbing his gun. So guess what happened to him? He got shot about 25 times. All six cops that were there shot him. Of course, they're the bad guys. His family says he was just asleep. What color you reckon he is? Do I need to tell you?
No.
Everybody knows. Racist, I don't care what you think. That's just fact. Everybody knows. You'd have to be a fool not to guess that. A lot of the people that come in said, okay, why don't we just call you next time there's a situation like that? We'll call you. Go get these, bleeding heart liberal people that know all the answers. Let them fix this situation. Call them to come down and take care of this. You go talk him out of it. You stand there and let him shoot you all to pieces. But nah, it's an unjust world. There's things going to happen sometimes. And when you don't teach your kids to respect authority, and when everything, the media and schools and all this racism, and I'm talking about black racism against whites, is going on and it's drilled into the children that they don't have to respect or obey or nothing, it's going to get worse and worse. You need to teach your kids to obey authority,
yes.
Not just you. I know some foolish people who've taught their kids that you don't have to listen to nobody but me. Nobody has to tell you. Nobody's going to tell you what to do but me. You just ignore them. Yeah, I don't have to obey you. You're not my mama. What are they going to do when the law pulls them over one day? And the law says, get your hands up. And they say, I don't have to listen to you. That's why they're getting killed. They won't obey. You don't have a thing to worry about if you just do what they say and not be a fool and get your hands down. I can't understand how you'd be so foolish. Well, you got six police officers with their gun pointed right at you, and you got a gun on your lap, and you don't get your hands in the air. You know, I'm more conscious of that even. I'm not an outlaw. Never been in trouble whatsoever. But if a cop pulled me over, I'm not going to keep my hands up. I'm not going to give him any reason whatsoever to be startled or jumpy about me. And you better take that advice too. What if you's a cop? We got to get on with this. But that's why by the law, the earthly judge has to. All right, now, although God is always just in what he does, men are not. And therefore, the earth's full of injustice. It's a fact that we got to realize and that we got to reckon with in this life. God's just, but man is not. The world's not fair, and it'll not treat you fairly. And I've always told the kids that. You just, you know, they'd say, but it ain't fair. And I said, well, welcome to the world. Maybe it's not fair from where you're sitting right now, but get used to it because this is the way life's going to treat you.
Yeah.
And I've told the kids different times, you know, if you think that I'm unfair with you, just wait until you see how the world treats you. I love you. And what I'm doing is I'm doing the best I can because I love you and I want the best for you. They don't care about you and they're going to just stomp all over you and they'll treat you and spit on you, treat you terrible and spit on you. and laugh while they're doing it, and they'll get away with it. Because that's the way the world is. Things don't always work out right in this world. Justice can't always be found, even in the places where it should be among men. You know, you think, well, we get to court and we get a jury and all of that, and surely will the truth will prevail, and surely I'll get justice. Better think again. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 16, 17, this is thousands of years ago, Solomon wrote, "And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment." Now that's what we're talking about here, ain't it? The place of judgment, where men judge one another. He said, I went there, and he said that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and every work and for every work. You see what he said? He said, I went to the place where judgment's supposed to happen, and there was wickedness there. And he said, I went to the place where there's supposed to be righteousness, like the church, and evil was there. He said, man, where can I turn? Now, he said, I just ain't going to find it in this world. He said, I'll just leave it to God. Did you get that? That's what he said. So faith will teach us to leave matters to the Lord instead of despairing, trying to find and ensure justice here on earth. You better be careful with your anger and your determination to make people pay, to get even, to make sure they get what they deserve. Man, you're going to be batting zero in this world. You start that, the evil's going to side against you with evil. That's right. Man, it ain't fair. It just ain't right. Judgment's turned upside down in this world right now, in our country right now. You know, it used to be that if you kill somebody in self-defense, there was no questions asked. I mean, if witnesses saw it and it was self-defense, there ain't no need for no trial or nothing. I mean, that's everybody knows that. Well, now they can break into your house and try to kill you, and you can fight back, and if you kill them, you might as well get ready. You're going to court. I mean, if they don't file charges against you and put you in jail for that, even if they say that he was justified, this is a self-defense, no charges, the family's still going to sue you for civil damages and take you to court. And you may lose everything you've got. That's the way it is. When we did this concealed carry class, that's what they told us. They said, man, you better, you need to understand. That's the way it works. That's the way our justice system works now. You're really guilty until proven innocent. When we lived in Mexico, that's the way it was. That's the way it is in all the other countries of the world, just about. In America, it was supposed to be different. You're innocent until proven guilty. But that's certainly not the way it is now, is it? No, you're guilty. Anybody accuse you, you're guilty. You got to prove that you're innocent, which is near about impossible to do nowadays. It's not just. I mean, it ain't fair. I've known of people, I've read about it in the news, I've known of people that caught people molesting their children and kill them. Guess who went to jail? Yeah. What would you do? If you found somebody even attempting to hurt your children or your wife, what would you do? Well, what would anybody do? Are you going to stop them? But in this crooked, upside down world, you're the criminal. Mm-hmm. We got soldiers that go to war, like the sniper that ended up dead, you know, condemned by everybody because he did what he was supposed to do. It's futile to look for justice among men. We'll always be disappointed. Most people turn on God when they suffer injustice from other people. It's very foolish, since God's their only hope of ever seeing justice done. If you believe in God, if you're one of God's children, you need to understand this here deep down in your soul, and you need to learn to get to the point in your faith and in your life where you can just leave it to God. Because this is, let me read you a verse or two here. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He talked about Israel. He said, he that touches you touches the apple of mine eye. Woe unto people who mess with God's people. People who do wrong to anybody. God's watching. He's a witness. God's just, so that means they're going to get it. You can bank on it. The law may let them go. The justice system of men may very well let them go. But God is not going to let them go. They may live their life out here, but they're going to pay when they meet God. And you need to learn to rest in that. You need to learn to be able to lay that down upon God, to cast that burden upon the Lord, to cast that care upon Him, for He careth for you. If you believe God's just, you can do that without putting your hand to it. What does it do when you put your hand to it? Well, you're intervening between yourself and God and what He said He would do and what He is supposed to and what He's the only one that's qualified to do. You're trying to do God's work. You're trying to help God out. You're trying to do what God has said He is obliged to do. Won't you just let God do it? Instead of hating people, won't you just let God deal with iniquity and unfairness and injustice? Those who believe and worship God have got to develop a habit of looking at things in a larger perspective than the confines of this earthly life. We got to keep eternity in view if we're going to understand God at all. All that He does is with eternity in view. Everything will turn out right in the end. If it's not right, it's because it's not the end yet. You just need to remember that. Everything's going to turn out all right. It's going to turn out right. It ain't the end yet. Wait till the end. Wait till the end of all things and you'll see that the Bible has taught us the truth. God is just. It's one of those hallelujahs in Revelation 19. That's what it's going to be about. God is just. They finally got it. They finally got what they deserved. If you read a book, if you watch some movie, that's what you're rooting for all the way through. There's always a bad guy or a bunch of bad guys. There's always some despicable, evil, unfair, bully, hateful person who's mistreating somebody else. And you're saying, oh, that low down thing. Wish he would get it. When I was in high school, we did a deal. Danny Wilder built this wrestling ring, you know, with the ropes and everything, just like a big deal. And we put on this wrestling match. I forgot what we was doing it for. It was some big deal. But we practiced for weeks. Me and Alvis were partners, and we were the good guys. You know, it's a tag team wrestling match. And Jerry and Terry Bruton, I think, were the bad guys. And so we had a ref, and every move was planned. We practiced and practiced and practiced. And I took some vampire blood from Halloween that I had, you know, and made little balloons. And I had them in my mouth so that I could bite them and get blood everywhere at the right time. We started that thing, and you know how it is. The bad guys, they were just every time the ref turned his back, they pulled some dirty trick. And oh, the crowd was just, enraged. I thought that one boy was going to get on in the ring. You know, he was ready to throw chairs and everything because you know, the ref wasn't listening. They was doing all this and I was bleeding. And they grabbed me and throwed me over the top of the ropes, plumb out in the crowd. And Coach Smith caught me on the second row. They threw me by the hands and feet and, whoosh, whoosh, and out in the crowd I went. But it was all about this. We were doing right, you know, and every time the referee would, they'd distract him over here and he wouldn't turn around and they was just beating the stuffing out of me or Alvis in the corner, you know, something. They was doing some dirty trick and everybody's hollering at the ref, look, 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 and he wouldn't look. And so when they got beat, boy, everybody was happy, you know, that they lost. That's the way it always is, see. People root for right. Something about us, we want the right to prevail. We long for justice. We long for the judgment to be passed and the evil to be put down. Well, rest assured, that's exactly the way this whole thing's going to play out. It's going to happen that way. Sure is. There's a grand scheme of things that is continually unfolding in this world of time and space that we live in. It's a story that's playing out. The things that happen to us may be unjust and hard to bear. But you're not the first one in line. You need to remember that. You're not the first one. You're just one among everybody else. Nobody's ever lived in this world that hadn't been treated unfairly. Some have got a lot harder deal than others. You know, the things that happen to us may be unjust and hard to bear. And the things that happen to us may be unfair and wrong by anybody's standards. Some people just seem to get a bad lot in life, while others seem to be born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Why are we sitting here free and fat and secure? And we can come to church and do this. And on the other side of the world, people that believe this same Bible risk their lives to even have it. They can't congregate like this. They're starving to death. They get put to death in the most ungodly ways for just doing or trying to do what we're doing here tonight. Why is it that way? How come we're not that way? How come we've got it so good and they don't? Because the world's not fair, that's why. There's evil in this world. And evil is injustice. That's what it deals out. Most of us spend far too much time just asking why and trying to figure out the reasons for these things. You know, it's kind of annoying when you get a child like Dorothy's age. She's at that age now where everything is why, why, why. And she wants, that's the word, just over and over and over. Why? About everything. You reckon God gets tired of us doing that too? Yeah. Getting tired of hearing our hearts cry, why? Cause you're in a sinful world. Things are not fair. It's not just. I mean, realize that. Face that fact. Look forward to the day when you'll be with God and there won't be none of this stuff. And everything will be right. And God has set everything right. Made all things new. And everything's right. Just, it's a kingdom of righteousness. Amen. We realize that God is just. If we do, if we realize God's just, we'll be able to accept whatever happens and trust that the judge of all the earth will do right in the end. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 12. For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of this vain life which he spendeth as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You better be looking farther than this life. You're not going to have a right attitude toward God. You're not going to have a right opinion and view of God if you don't look past all this. Churches could operate a lot better if they just realize things are not always going to be fair. Yep. People are going to do things. People are going to say things. People are going to forget you. They're going to do things as if you didn't exist and leave you out. And, you know, there's just all kinds of things. They're going to hurt you. They're going to treat you unfairly. People are going to be untruthful, unfair. I mean, that's what life's like here. Who knoweth what is good for a man in this life and all the days of this vain life. Don't put so much stock in this life. Don't try to find your truth among men and among this world. Quit looking for the perfect church, the perfect person. The most, you know, that'll treat you the best and always be fair. You better realize that we're all tainted with all of this. It's hard to have, you know, we can't, none of us claim to be 100% just in our dealings with other people. I'll try to do our best. I'll ask the Lord for help, and He will. But we're limited in our knowledge. We're influenced by our affections. I mean, just try. Just go ahead and try to tell somebody that they got a rotten kid. He can be the most low-down creature on the face of this earth. And his mama will still take up for him. That's unjust. You say, well, love. No, that ain't love. That's injustice. That's truth and justice distorted by human affection. And God is not like that. He goes by the truth. Real quick. This is another basic attribute of God that's always on trial. God being just. I think it's on trial more than His goodness is. I think people question this more than anything about God. His justice. Every time anything bad happens, they say, well, if He's a loving God, how could He let this happen? I remember when 9-1-1 happened, 9-11 happened, and they had some religious leader on the news, and they asked him that question straight out. Well, you know, you're a man of the cloth, and you know the Bible and all about being a Christian and everything. Let me ask you a question. If God is a loving God, how could He let this happen? He couldn't even answer. He just beat around the bush and hummed hard and everything else. I was so disgusted when I heard that. Oh my goodness. Why don't you come and ask me? I can give you an answer better than that. God's just. No matter what wicked men do. Why do you make God unjust because of what some wicked devil done? God didn't do that. And if He wants, and if you know, you're a hypocrite. If you want God to stop people like that, but you won't let Him interfere with your sinful life. You don't want Him telling you what to do and not to do, but you want Him telling other people what to do. You hold Him accountable for what other people do and the lives they destroy and the damage they cause, but you won't have Him interfering with what you're doing to hurt people, to hurt your own self and to hurt God. It's hypocrisy. When things don't seem to work out according to what we think is just and right, we immediately call God into question over the matter. Don't He care? Does God not care? Didn't He see? I mean, the skeptic's mind works like this. If God knew this was going to happen and He didn't stop it, that makes Him evil. That's the way they reason. I mean, if you knew that this was going to happen to this child and you could stop it, but you refused to do so, then you're evil. And that's the way they judge God. That's because of men's warped idea of justice. That's accusing the innocent, see? And taking up for the wicked. Don't you see that's what they're doing? They're siding with the wicked and condemning God. They're condemning the righteous and justifying the wicked. And both of those things, the Bible clearly says, are an abomination to God. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, both are an abomination to the Lord. So, that's the accusation of the devil. He don't care. He don't see. How can he allow this to happen to me if he loves me? So that's the accusation of the devil, and boy, he's quick to put it into our minds. You ever been there? You ever had some awful, awful thing happen in your life? And you realize, I mean, that's where your mind goes. God knew this was happening. He knew it was coming, and he let it happen to me anyway. Why? How? Well, you better be anchored in these things. You better know God's just. Because the devil, man, he can punch you hard when the circumstances are like that. You can be brought into circumstances where the devil can put that in your mind, and boy, it can just about put you down when you find no answer. You're not going to find an answer in a situation like that. You better find your answers before you get in. You better prepare ahead of time. You better put on your armor ahead of time. You better load your gun ahead of time. Be ready before it happens. Better get anchored in this stuff here that we're talking about. God's just. You better never forget it. You better know it for sure. You better know it so sure that it'll stand any test that comes along. You better believe God and be determined to believe God no matter what the devil throws into your life. It's not surprising that we're prone to think those thoughts when the sting of injustice and being done wrong is fresh upon us. Yeah. I mean, that's when it hurts the worst. But the soul that believes and trusts in God will not tarry long in such dark territory, because the Spirit of God will give comfort and reassurance. And the view will be enlarged to realize that there will be another day when the righteous judge of the universe will make all things right. See, the Holy Ghost that guides you into all truth, he's not going to leave you comfortless. Jesus promised that. He's the comforter. I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll come unto you. And when he comes, see, the Spirit of God will remind you of this. If you believed it in the first place. If you're really his. If the Holy Ghost lives in you. The Spirit of God's in you. You'll find in these trials that's what he'll do. All right, one verse. I'm going to read this and I'm done. Isaiah 22, verse 25. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed and be cut down and fail. And the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord has spoken it. You see how that connects with this? Man's so sure of himself. Man thinks he's God. Man thinks he can make his own laws. He can defy the laws of God. He can make it what he wants to make it. That nail that's fixed in a sure place, God says, I'm going to pull it out of there. And everything that's hanging on it. Boy, ain't that going to be wonderful? Yes, I'm looking forward to it. When God is God. The Hallelujah Course. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord, all the nations of the earth and all are all gone. Are become His. And the Lord omnipotent reigneth. Omnipotent reigneth. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. You believe God will do right? Do you believe God will do right by you? Yep. I believe God has avenged me in my life with things, with people that I didn't have to do. I'm glad I didn't try. I don't feel good about it. I'm just reminded this is true. God's that way.
That's right.
Boy, you remember the funeral happened a couple of years ago. You know, my cousin's husband preached it, and those guys, two of them, cursed him from the pews loudly, disrupted the whole funeral using profanity, calling him names, and then got up in the front after the funeral and did the same thing at the coffin. Then they went to the graveyard and drank their beer at the grave, out in the graveyard. Within 2 months, they were both dead. 30, in their 30s. Young men. Healthy. Don't tell me. God's not just. Sometimes judgment comes swiftly. I mean, it just depends on what you do. You get too brazen and blatant, boy, you better. Everybody better back away from them. That bunch out there in the desert, you know, told Moses, we're as holy as you. What are you doing trying to tell us what to do? Moses, he said, everybody that's on the Lord's side, you better get away from them. The earth opened up and swallowed them. They went right to hell. See, God's just. Sometimes he does that. But all the time, he's going to be just when it's all over. Every dirty, low-down, rotten thing that's been done to somebody else is going to be answered for, going to be held to account. God's going to make sure of it. And I can rest now. I can go to bed tonight and sleep just fine, knowing that God's got it all. Don't worry. The right, like the song we sang this morning, the right will prevail. Yes, it will. In the end, it'll prevail. All right, well, let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that we've talked about tonight. What assurance and what comfort we can have in knowing that you're just. And that it's not our place, it's not our duty, it's not our job to worry about the injustice that goes on around us or in our own life. It's not our responsibility to bring vengeance or to make sure that justice is done. A lot of times in this world, we, because of the way the laws are and the way everything's set up, it's set up against the right, set up against the righteous. To try to do righteousness a lot of times ends us up in trouble with this wicked world that we live in. Lord, I thank you that I know it's going to be different when it's all said and done, when this thing's over. Everything's going to be right. And we're going to be glad that we believed you, trusted you, and lived by this faith in what you are, who you are, how you are. Lord, help us to get these things down. This is probably the most important attribute that we need to really know in our deepest soul about you. Please drill it into us and help us to keep it in Jesus' name. Amen.